Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lanham for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. Have you ever thought about how good it would be or how great it would be to win an award? Be featured in a magazine or recognized for the things that you and your business have achieved, that the people in your company have achieved? Most business owners I know would say that recognition of their achievements is not that important. They focus on being the best they could be through a combination of approaches, things that they need to do. Whatever the combination of approaches, where and will the company go in a day is a whole other thing. Most likely never forgetting the journey along the way, you know, the startups, the struggles, the successes they've had, the journey, the road paved with peaks, valleys, and detours. As you know, an award is a recognition of achievement, but maybe even more important is a recognition to peers or of your peers of a job well done. I know not too many people, outside of sports who the end game is to actually win an award. But I do know a lot of business people who the end game is to succeed beyond their wildest dreams, and whatever that dream might be, vision of success, if you wish. To build something that is truly sustainable, to contribute to the community, to contribute to people's lives, their employees' lives. Every business owner I know, whenever I talk to them about their employees, basically say, I understand that I help put food on the table for the people that work for me. Right? Or they help us do it all too. I often wonder, what is it that a company does better to be successful over one company over another company? Was it their strategic plan or the implementation of that plan, the team, their sales and marketing approach, the people in their business or the processes that they use? Could it be a dedication to customer service that's always been a real home run for them? Or maybe it's that there's an understanding in the marketplace of what makes them different. Their, what's it called, unique sales proposition, that differentiation. Those big words that we often use in business to try to figure out what makes us more unique than somebody else. Maybe it's their ability to expand through merger and acquisition or to blend the company culture with another company culture. I mean, in merger acquisition situation, that often what happens. You bring a couple of organizations together. No matter the approach, I think recognition comes after journeying a road of ups and downs through dedication, perseverance, and maybe just a little bit of luck. So let's have that conversation today with my guest, CEO of Bison Fire Protection, Rob Reed. Rob, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Richard.
Always nice to have you here.
It's great to be back.
Yeah, you've been on the show several times. So this is an anniversary for us.
It is.
Yeah, I think I had you on the show a year ago, almost to this date.
Yeah, it's funny how that just worked out, and where does the time go?
I have no idea. Now, Rob, I don't expect everybody to know what your company does, so maybe what we do, we'll just start there, right? Let's just talk a little bit about your organization.
Okay, well, our business is kind of summed up in the name, Bison Fire Protection. We sell, design, install fire protection equipment, and that's everything from sprinkler systems to fire alarm systems, suppression systems that you're going to see in restaurants and paint spray booths, right down to the little things like servicing, refilling fire extinguishers, selling the extinguishers. We do a lot of design work for people on the fire alarm or sprinkler side of things, do a lot of consultation work with bigger customers when they need it. We do a lot of work with commercial enterprises as well as heavy industrial things. We take a lot of pride in the fact that in the last couple of years, we've put in sprinkler systems into headframes in the Saskatchewan mining areas and some very, very large and very prominent jobs out in that area. If you can make it burn, we can put it out. I kind of stumbled there for a minute.
Yeah, no, that's okay. If you can make it burn, we can put it out.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much. We probably don't want people to burn things, though.
No, we really don't.
Not even a good steak. Like, don't even burn that.
Yeah, exactly. No, ours are the kind of products we don't want you to have to use.
But they're more of a, is it fair enough to say that they're more of an, would it be insurance or assurance? Would it be assurance would be the appropriate word?
I like assurance better. Yeah. I mean, our industry is very liability driven because the obvious, you know, you lose a building, someone loses a life. I mean, there's those terrible things that could happen, yet we want to do is make sure that if our products are working properly, the fires are put out well before the fire department even needs to show up and support them.
So basically minimizing risk.
Absolutely.
Yeah, probably is a good way to do, or mm-hmm. mitigation, or minimizing risk. In your intro, I'm always sort of curious, B2C or B2B? So business to business, business to consumer. You're more of a business to business organization?
We are business to business, yeah.
So when we talk about business to business, over the years, first of all, let's just ask that question. How many years have you been in business?
We started up back in 2001, so that's, you know.
It's been a little while now, right?
Yeah.
You're in that sort of 16-year time frame.
Am I
doing my math correctly?
I think you are, yeah.
Just making sure, you know, I've been in school for a while. No, I'm actually generally pretty good at math. So where was I going? Oh, yeah, industry served. So basically, you mentioned a few industries. Give some examples of the industries that you've actually served.
Well, we take care of the residential industry. When I'm talking about that, that's, you know, apartments, condos, that sort of thing. We take care of commercial endeavors, and that's warehouses, manufacturing, support, anything like that. Heavy industrial, which is mining, forestry. Again, we touch pretty much every type of business that's out there, because fire protection is required whether you're a single operator, and I'm thinking of, say, a small, say, pet grooming store that still needs to have a fire extinguisher in there and it still needs to be serviced annually. We'll take care of that little person and that small business as diligently as we'd take care of a mining operation, because every one of them's important. It's like when you look at your staff and you think, okay, I've got this key salesperson, and man, they're sure driving your business for you. But if your receptionist isn't on her game, you know, it's very difficult. Take CJOB here. If your receptionist didn't come in for a day, what kind of chaos would you have? So every person is important. Every customer is important.
Yeah, and then how you deal with them. You were talking a little bit about the business rules around, I guess, the fire extinguishing side. One of the things I was curious about, I made a note of it actually, and I wrote down business rules. Over the course of your life in this business, mm-hmm. In what way have the regulations changed and impacted organizations?
They change, and I won't say regularly, but fire codes themselves change because of changes in technologies or manufacturing. So different things will burn differently. And I'll use the example of the restaurants that, you know, years ago when they used animal fats versus vegetable oils, these days vegetable oils burn at a much higher temperature. They also have higher efficiency appliances these days. Okay. And with those appliances, what they do is they hold that heat. So not only is it hotter, but it holds it longer. So they found that the old suppression systems, the dry chemical type of systems, managed to reflash. So they'd knock out the initial fire, but it was so hot it would reflash.
Okay, so the fire would start again.
Right, so okay. We see changes in technology. We see the same sort of changes in technologies and fire alarms, and as well with sprinkler systems. There's always things that are updating, you know,
and changing in the industry itself.
Absolutely.
I think what we're going to do, Rob, is we'll take a short break, and maybe we'll come back in on that, is what kind of rules, I'm calling them business rules, have changed or constrain an organization and the regulations and what they need to be aware of. And then we'll talk a bit about your organization and how you built it over the years.
Sure, absolutely.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out here with Rob Reed of Bison Fire Protection. See, Rob, we talked about during the break about tripping our words a little bit. I just did it to you.
Yeah.
Bison Fire Protection. I do love the name of your company, by the way.
Thank you.
Because how can you not, you know, Bison? You know, like, really,
right.
You're on the prairies, right?
Absolutely. It totally fits with our culture.
It totally fits with your culture. Yeah, that's actually, you know, I was going to start off somewhere else, but maybe that's what we should talk about. Let's make a note to talk about culture in a little bit. During the last segment, we were talking a bit about what I refer to as business rules. So regulations that constrain organizations in some way, either requiring them to do certain things a certain way. And you started talking a little bit about codes and that. What else can we tell our listeners in terms of what's maybe changed that could impact their business from a business rule perspective when it comes to fire suppression?
Well, it's interesting that in the last number of years, the city of Winnipeg has adopted a new rule that for fire alarm systems, that in any place that's going to have occupancy for over 10 minutes has to now have a horn strobe in that area. So, and this is only in Winnipeg.
Okay. All right.
So you can imagine now running strobes in apartment blocks and how much power that requirement is, and how difficult that is for any fire alarm company to try and achieve that.
Okay, I got to stop you. Excuse my ignorance. What's a horn strobe?
You know, it's that it's that crazy flashing light.
Yeah,
and,
that
you know,
goes
like,
off,
remember
yeah.
the old days we had bells, the old gongs?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, it's the same thing.
Ding,
it's just kind of, yeah, now,
yeah.
now it's just that wah, wah,
oh,
wah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And of course, it's strobing, so
okay,
to get
okay.
you to leave the building.
Okay, so continue on with your thought. I'm sorry, I had right. to ask. I had that moment where, what the heck is he talking about?
Sure, sorry. So the kind of challenge with that is when we go back to our manufacturers and say, you know what, we need more power. We've got to drive all these strobes. We have to do all this work. They look at us, and this isn't just our company, but this is every manufacturer. They go, this is only required in Winnipeg. Nowhere yeah. else in North America. So we're going to put our R&D into something else.
Yeah, so yeah. It's a size of market type of thing, right? Size of sales, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So how does that impact our customers or your customers?
Well, it creates some challenges for us because we need to have extra power supplies. We have to add extra equipment. It drives the price of the fire alarm system up. So it drives the cost of a project up. And, mm-hmm. and I won't say to the point where people sit back and think, is there a cost worth going or pursuing going forward? But it does drive up the cost of a project. And that's not always good.
For any project.
For any project.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
For any project.
Any business owner is trying to actually, mm-hmm. if you think about it, just from a pure business perspective, we're always looking to decrease our costs, mm-hmm. increase our productivity, enhance our organization mm-hmm. some way. So even from that perspective, we look at it from project costs. But this is now a building code. So if I was to be building a new, we used apartment blocks as the example.
Right. Yeah.
I would, as an owner, mm-hmm. I would an investor, I would have to have that built into my organization.
Absolutely would.
So I know that your organization covers a number of different provinces. Where are all your locations?
We have an office in Kenora in northwestern Ontario.
Yeah.
We have an office up in Thompson, here in Winnipeg, obviously, Brandon, one out in Regina, and we have a fledgling office in Saskatoon.
A fledgling office in Saskatoon.
It's very, yeah, we've just taken on some office space out there, and we've got a number of people working in that area. It got to the point where we had people living and working in the area, and we needed to now give them
a home.
Yeah, kind of a home to go to every day. That's
yeah,
right.
Okay, that makes sense. So I'm going to go back into the fire suppression examples and the strobe horn. Let's do a comparison. You said it's only in Winnipeg. So if we pick one of those other locations, what might be, let's pick Kenora, for example, or you can go Kenora or Regina or one of the
doesn't
other
matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. What might be one of their, what would be the difference? What would they be required to put in place?
They would have to have them out in the hallways.
Out in the hallways.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So would that be the same? Mm-hmm. Would that just be the flashing light or just the sound or both?
Both.
Oh,
yeah.
Both. Okay. Yeah. So there's some variation mm-hmm. in terms of what you have to do.
Yeah. You know, it's almost like I say in Winnipeg, we have to have them in the bedrooms. We have to have them in the living rooms. We have to have them in the kitchens. We have to have them, you know, in any area that they deem over 10 minutes of occupancy.
Oh, wow.
So
pretty
if you,
much
if you like
house.
If you like taking a magazine into the washroom.
Which we all do. We have those bathroom readers,
yeah,
don't we?
Absolutely.
That's what we have in our house anyway. Yeah. You know, and plus if you just bring your phone with you, I don't even read the bathroom reader anymore. So
yeah, be careful if you make sure you don't drop it.
Well, I did that once in my life and I've never done it again. That
right.
was a long time ago. That was when we had pagers and boy, that really caused some havoc.
I'm
I know
sure.
we're messing around a little bit in terms of just the topic. So I want to go back to the whole idea of the naming of the company, Bison. Why did you pick the name Bison?
I like the idea that it represented Manitoba at the time because that's where we were based out of. But I also like the idea that as we grew the company into Saskatchewan, even, you know, partially northwestern Ontario, that people would understand, you know, Bison, Central Canada, where we really are. It was just a representation of our area.
Okay. So that was some foresight on your side. Mm-hmm. Because we're talking now 16 years ago that you made that decision.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the, and so it's worked out for you in that respect.
It has. Yeah. I haven't had to rename the company.
Well, some companies do, right? They pick a name. You do see small business owners do this. And they pick mm-hmm. a name and then they realize 3 years in or 5 years in or six
yeah.
years in that was a bad idea. And they have to
right.
rename or rebrand their company.
Yeah, you don't want to be Jimmy's Fire Protection and then sit back and think, oh, okay, we're now a very big and professional looking company. We need to rebrand this.
Yeah, where's Jimmy today?
Yeah, exactly.
Jimmy's been
exactly.
bought out.
Yeah.
And that's happened a lot too.
For sure.
I want to talk to you a bit about culture, but maybe what we'll do is we'll just step back and talk about branding a little bit. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts in terms of the significance and importance of branding your organization?
I think it's important. I mean, you need to be able to stand out from the competition that's out there. You need to be recognizable. People have to understand that when they're calling you, they're getting excellence, that you have people that are going to support them. When you send a technician, he knows what he's doing. He knows why he's there. You want that, and that's the way you want to be branded. And we live in a culture, especially with social media these days, that if you, I don't know, screw up a project, especially in Winnipeg, it gets around really quickly.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
Poor customer service.
So do you want to be branded as that, you know, professional with the excellence, or do you want to be branded or known as that company that, well, they're cheaper, but they may not perform.
I think branding is an incredibly important thing, and how an organization starts to determine their brand is a whole other experience.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a short break, Rob, and when we come back, we'll kick off with branding, and then we'll talk about culture.
Sounds really good.
This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I am hanging out with Rob Reed, my new best friend, as I always like to do in the third segment. I make a best friend in every third segment. He is the CEO of Bison Fire Protection, Inc. See, I even put the ink in there for you.
You got
today.
It this time. Wow.
Didn't trip over my words. Doing my best. Last segment, we were talking about branding, and I know I've had the opportunity on many occasions to talk about your company, and even just, you know, privately, right, when
right.
we've been bumped into each other at different events.
For sure.
And just, I've always loved the symbolism of you using Bison as your branding side of the equation. What do you think, I mean, the question always becomes, I think, you know, how do organizations figure out their brand?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with their culture as well.
Okay.
And I mean, this can go 100 different ways, right?
Yeah, I know. It's a big question, right?
It is. Yeah. But, you know, our brand, I think, has become excellence.
Okay.
It really has become teamwork. You know what I mean? As I said earlier, you know, the person that answers the phones is as important as that top salesperson, who is as important as that top technician. Every single one of them has a role, and every one of those roles is important. But to get back to branding, the important thing, and what I think differentiates us from a lot of people, is the fact that we have a number of products available to us. So we're not, to use the example of cars, we're not a Chevy dealership, and we can only sell you Chevys and Chevy parts. Because we are not a brand-oriented company, we distribute several different manufacturers' products, which gives us flexibility to find the right product for the right situation. So we're not trying to shoehorn somebody into something that's close. We can look at that product and they came or may come to us and say, we really want one of these. And we'll look at that and say, oh, that's okay. However, what about this? And they look at that and go, wow, we didn't even know that existed. Talk about a powerful thing to be able to do.
Well, there you go, right? So there's some options. I'm always interested in this whole topic of branding and particularly in differentiation. You know, I had coffee with a business associate of mine, a client, on Tuesday morning.
Right.
And we were talking about this. You know, what makes them different in the marketplace than ABC Inc., you know?
Right.
Or you used the word Jimmy Fire compression or suppression earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall reading, as you know, I'm a motorcycle enthusiast.
Right,
I'm a music enthusiast along with you and a motorcycle enthusiast. We'll talk about that afterwards. But I was looking at Harley Davidson's strategic plan, and it's all online, right?
Right.
I mean, everything you want to see is online.
It's out there, yeah.
And they were saying there was all sorts of words put around, but I just thought they really sort of understood it in the sense that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what they offer people, a lifestyle, a perceived lifestyle.
They even
said it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right in the strategic planning documents. And I think it's something that every business needs to sort of start to grasp is what differentiates them and what's their unique selling proposition.
Right. And like I say, with us, it's that ability to come in and offer different solutions.
Yeah.
It's not just coming in and saying, this is what we do. You know, so we spend a lot of time with our customers and talk them through the options that they have that they may not have considered. And we do that with not just customers, but the engineering community. We spend a lot of time with engineers showing them new products and educating them to what's out there so that when they themselves are dealing with customers, they can say, hey, you know, we saw this recently. What do you think?
Yeah, you know
what I mean? And building that credibility in areas, not just, you know, the business to business sort of thing, but building that brand on the, within the business community, and whether it's the engineers, the architects, the construction companies, the electrical contractors, giving those people that option that they look at you and go, we want you to work with us because we know we're going to get the support we need.
Yeah, and that's actually pretty significant. And interesting, one of the words that you used was educating our clients, mm-hmm. Or potential clients or our customers, right?
Right.
And I thought that was a fascinating word to use because giving them the opportunity to create informed choices.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
because
education is powerful.
Yeah, education is powerful. I mean, you mentioned earlier about social media. I mean, social media is almost, and this is just my opinion, mm-hmm. Is almost killed the traditional hard sale approach.
Right.
Right. Because who mm-hmm. needs that?
Right.
You don't need to show up somewhere and have somebody say, smack, 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 you have to buy this.
Right.
Because you can click on your phone and you have everything you need to make an informed decision.
Absolutely. I used to talk to people when we were doing, and we still do them, the fire extinguisher training when we teach people how to use extinguishers. But the difference between panic and action is education.
Okay, right? Fair enough. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you don't know what to do, if you haven't been educated, you're going to make those mistakes.
You're going to just panic, yeah.
But when you know what to do, when you're given the information to make the right choice.
Yeah.
It's very easy.
Very easy.
Very easy.
You know? Yeah. It's interesting. The first thing that flashed in my mind was military.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because think of the training, right? I mean, mm-hmm. They don't panic. They know what to do, right?
Right.
Or even when you do, if we use in York, we go with fire drills. You
right.
know, there's a reason why you do fire drills in schools or mm-hmm. maybe even your own organization.
Right.
right? The idea is...
We just did one Wednesday.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, how'd it go?
It went really well. Really well.
In your own building? Or
yeah, within our own building because, you know, for us, we have to do that to maintain our core accreditation.
Oh, sure. Sure. You need to know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And so lessons learned. What did you learn from doing your own fire... evacuation.
Actually, what we found out was was that when we use the air horns that we use in our building in the back, the girls up front couldn't hear it very well.
Oh, really? Okay.
So we're going to look at how we can change that internally to make sure that if someone's blowing that air horn in the back to evacuate the building, how do we then move that up front? So even for ourselves, there's an ongoing learning process.
Yeah.
But that's why you do these things.
It is why you do those things. You know, I'm a big believer in two things when it comes to lessons learned and retrospectives, right? Mm-hmm. And they're slightly different, right? Variations, but hopefully they lead you down to the same path, right? Mm-hmm. And so you finding out that maybe the horns in front aren't heard by the staff that are in the front of your organization. Well, that becomes an issue mm-hmm. because it's very easy to get distracted. And you tell me opinion-wise, you could be on your phone talking to somebody and you just hear a little something in the background. Well, where's your attention?
Right. Well, you're on the phone.
You're on the phone, right? Yeah. You're not hearing that, mm-hmm. that other noise is mm-hmm. just sort of drowned out,
exactly.
not by other noise, just by where you're focusing your point.
Right.
You know, and there's great brain research that shows how human focus works. Sorry, mm-hmm. I just can't help myself, Rob. I got to add stuff in. I just read too much. I want to go back to this whole idea of culture. Mm-hmm. And we've been sort of playing around with it a little bit, but what is your perspective, I guess, in terms of just corporate culture or business culture?
Well, for us, we talk about teamwork, and I know that's kind of a buzzword these days.
Sure. Everybody's talking about teamwork and leadership. And
how important it is, all that sort of fun stuff. But, you know, it really is that ability that when someone's having a bad day or when someone screws up, to be able to walk over to them, you know, and that's any employee, you know, employee to employee, and going, can I help you?
Yeah.
What's going on? Is there something I can do to prop you up? Versus kind of, you know, picking on them or, you know, you screwed that up. You know what I mean? And taking them down even further. When your team, when someone comes to work every day, knowing the team around them has their back, that's powerful.
That is really powerful.
You know? That it allows them to do their job with confidence. It allows them to come forward with ideas because they know that their idea, whether it's implemented or not, will be listened to.
Yeah. It's interesting to say this. I'm going to share a story. I have a business friend of mine, another business associate. I just meet too many people, but that's okay. And, you know, they're experiencing that right now. And mm-hmm. I've been trying to help them a little bit, but they left one position where they knew everybody, had a whole family, supported by their team. They've gone to another position, same organization, mm-hmm. and they feel isolated and not supported. And so I guess it can happen within an organization or outside an organization.
It can, and that, I guess, will speak to your ability to engage the people around you.
Sure.
And you know, with engagement, that's always so important, that it's not talking at your people or giving them direction. Sometimes it's sitting down and asking them, what are you seeing?
Yeah.
Because, and it's funny, I just had this conversation with one of our groups earlier this week. Guys, you're the people in the field. You're the ones that are seeing problems. You're the ones that are experiencing problems. Bring them forward. We can't fix them if we don't know about them. If there's a process that's good, but you think it could be better, bring it forward.
Let's fix that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have to take a short break again, Rob.
For sure.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Rob Reed of Bison Fire Protection today. Rob, just before the break, we were talking a little bit about teamwork. And I had the opportunity to, I was reading some stuff about your company, and I understand that you guys got like a pretty cool recognition most recently. What was that recognition?
We have just been awarded or made the Profit 500 list for fastest growing companies in Canada. The really nice part of that is it's the fifth year in a row that we've done this.
Yeah, 50. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. What I like about that award is it's an affirmation to the staff for the hard work that they do every day.
Yeah,
I mean, because they show up and they really care.
Yeah, what publications are those? Those are Canadian Business and what's...
Maclean's, I think, is going to be out there as well. But yeah, definitely the Canadian Business, and it'll be on their websites.
And it's the Profit 500.
For sure.
Right on.
Yeah, and there was a little write-up in the Free Press today about it and that sort of thing. Because there was 11 companies in Manitoba that made it, and that's impressive.
Cause it is really impressive.
You know what? Tells us that we're doing well. We're having success here in Manitoba.
Well, one of the interesting things about Manitoba when it comes to business, there's lots of great... what I call mid-range business success stories that nobody knows anything about.
I agree.
You know, these beautiful companies that are 100 or 200 or maybe even 25 employees, you know, they're not the big corporations with thousands and thousands of people. They're these really great anchored companies, and they're doing phenomenal things either regionally or globally.
Right.
And there's lots of them out there.
I find that interesting because I guess where I am and my involvement with the Winnipeg Chamber of Commerce, and I sit on the board of directors with the chamber, but I get exposed to a lot of these businesses and I get to see their success. I get to know those business owners and they get to know me, and we share a lot of thoughts back and forth. But you're right. There are so many unsung stories of businesses that are doing so well.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I have the opportunity to do is speak at different conferences, as you know, and then also I've been a university professor for years. So I get to teach a lot of students really building business brain power, strategic planning, business analysis stuff and everything. And I often get approached by students asking, you know, where could they go work? Now, when I say students, I'm talking about adults, right?
Right. Yeah.
And or they're looking for opportunities. And I just find it interesting that there's this whole pool out there of people that are seeking to do more stuff here, but yet they don't quite know what's actually happening in our economy.
I agree.
You know, and I find that I don't know what the solution to that is.
I find it funny. I made the comment to someone the other day that the best salesman in Winnipeg lives 100 miles out of town, because you're then viewed as someone that's bringing something into the city. And sometimes we don't view ourselves properly. We don't give ourselves that self-respect or, you know, understand that there's some really great things going on here right now.
Unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable things.
There really is. Yet we look to areas, and I'll use the Vancouver, Toronto, Calgary. Oh, you know, if it comes from those places, it must be fantastic and great. You know, if it's from Winnipeg, well, I guess it's okay. And yet I think the perceptions outside of Winnipeg of our city are much better.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had the opportunity to live all over across our country and work internationally. And I'm, you know, partly the reason why I do the show is I want to unearth those success stories. And I agree. I think there's a phenomenal amount going on. I'll sit down and talk to any CEO, any executive, any business owner about what they're doing and how successful they are. I think there's lots to celebrate here.
There is.
You know, there is lots to celebrate here. One of the things I like to talk about sometimes are the four C's of business. And I'll see how much time we have to do to talk about some of this. Now, we sort of covered one of them. So let's just, four C's just for our listeners, are company, custard. Yeah, we want custard.
Dessert time, is it?
Yeah, dessert time. Let's go eat. Company, customer, community, and culture.
Right.
I think, and competition. I must have missed, I think I just missed one of them, messed one of them up. I might have just said five. But anyway, just in terms of your thought, in terms of business development and that, and I talk about your company, what kind of things come to mind?
Well, from a business development point of view, we're always looking for new products, things that will support what we're doing, that help us and enhance our projects and what we're doing and our offerings to our customers. So we don't want to stay stagnant in that way. We're always looking for something that, you know, when we're walking into a customer, it's not, well, just here's your fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Well, you know, now we can walk in there and say, well, here's your fire extinguisher. Here's your fire alarm system. Here's your sprinkler system. Here's your door access if you need that for an apartment block. Here's your card access if you need that. We also do nurse call now. So, yeah, so anyone looking, so we become a very full service shop as opposed to a kind of a one hit wonder.
Yeah, so I think we've covered that. So you've really thought about how you could grow your business that way and how have you achieved that growth over the years. What's been your approach?
Our approach has been always to, you know, it's funny, you know, develop the relationships with our suppliers,
yeah,
right? So that we are doing the best that we can with them so that when they have opportunities, they're thinking of us first.
What about strategically? What would you say?
Strategically, again, it's a matter of looking at a market and saying, what's out there? Where is it strong? Where is it weak?
Okay.
Where can we fill a niche that nobody else is filling? And if we can make it easy for someone to deal with us because it's a difficult project that they have, I mean, talk
that goes
about
a long way.
It really does.
Yeah, you know? Easy access in that too. Okay, so one of the other C's is community.
Mm-hmm.
So give us your thought on community from a business perspective.
Well, the community, again, and I talk about this when I'm giving presentations, it's very important to me. You know, this community's given me and the staff a lot. And I truly believe in giving back. And I jokingly tell people, you know, I season ticket holder for the Jets, I have to be able to make it from the front door to my seats with my daughter without having a customer come up and start chewing on my ear about it in front of my kid.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, so it's very important for me to be seen as a professional in the industry and to provide that level of professionalism so that when you see someone, they're giving you a high five.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so that's part of the community growth and
absolutely
development for you.
But beyond that, Richard, there's also the giving back. And I think about the things that we do for Siloam Mission. I think about the Teddy Bear Picnic where we donate extinguishers, for the Folk Festival where we donate the fire protection that they need to operate. Because a lot of these community events,
yeah, non-profit,
they're not for profit. They need support. You know, they're doing things. They need occupancy, temporary occupancy. So in a lot of cases, we are donating to them the equipment that they need. They give it back after they're done. So there's no harm, no foul.
But
it gets them going and it supports them in a way with something that they need. And it's again, giving back to that community.
Yeah. So here's a thought for you.
Right.
Competition.
Well, I mean, they're out there. and you know what? Like any business, and I talk to so many business owners that are out there in different industries, you've got your good competitors that are doing a good job, and you've got your lesser desirable competitors, and they're going to do what they do. And again, when I'm talking about being able to make it to my seat at the Jets game unharassed, I know the people that are living that same world with me, and I know the people that aren't.
Well, there you go. There you go. There's your thoughts on competition. I've always liked the four C's of business thinking. I just thought I'd throw them at you and see what you'd say. So if you don't mind, if somebody want to get in touch with you, Rob, how would they go about doing that?
Well, they can call the office. You know, I know we get outside of the perimeter, so I don't want to have perimeteritis here. So if everyone's got their pen handy, I'll say it slowly. Toll free, 866-441-3473. You can reach us through our website. That's www.bisonfire.com. We can be found on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn,
the usual places,
suspects
right
there.
But basically your phone number and website. What a show. Rob, yeah. I've always enjoyed having you on. I know you've been on a couple of times with me now and just talking about business and talking about your successes and the challenges you've had too, right? And your philosophy around business. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what would that be?
A final thought, enjoy what you're doing.
Okay.
Enjoy the day. Every day, every challenge, you know, and I tell this to the staff all the time, I have to be in the office for 8 hours a day as well. If I'm not enjoying myself, we need to fix something.
Yeah, something's up. Something's wrong. That's actually a really good point. Rob, thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you.
It's always a pleasure. And for our listeners, obviously, thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. If you have a thought, an idea, a question, you can just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And I do want you to remember something. Do your best. Invest in the success of others and make your journey count.